Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 21. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Old Testament makes it very clear that when Moses was given the pattern of things that were supposed to be built into the tabernacle, and ultimately would be the temple, but the tabernacle, that it was supposed to be after the pattern of the things that are in heaven. Okay? Now, the first thing that maybe gets missed, because when David was sitting on the bench there for a while, he had a heart to go out and build God a temple. And God said, no, you're a bloody man. You can't be building the temple, but your son can do that. So David went about gathering all of these implements for a real house. He says, has it ever been asked by me? Has it even ever been asked by me for a house? I don't need a house. The heavens can't contain me. You know, I mean, I don't need a house. But it was nice that you thought it. So he gives him a green light and says, you can do that. But that tells us that the original feelings of God were that this would be a tabernacle that could move. Because the patterns of the things in the heavens are that there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem that is going to be new is going to be almost like a satellite city. It comes down all by itself. It comes as a separate thing from the new heaven and the new earth. And you have this satellite city coming down. And it is huge. It's not a city that's like the cities you see today. This thing is 1,500 miles square. It's huge. So how far does it come down? How high does it abide? Well, it seems like this is a satellite city that's going to be something of a marvel, no doubt. I read about it, and when I ponder it, the three things he's mentioned, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, that's the three things. There they are. New Jerusalem is the bride. So there you got it. She's the centerpiece. Last thing, you know, that last thing that comes in is that, wow, here's the thing. I'm going to save the best for last. And it was the bride. And the bride is the church. The bride is those who are in Christ, not the pre-church age believers, those people from the Old Testament era. And not those who came in under the millennial kingdom or those who came in through the tribulation door. No, those aren't part of the bride. That's a separate thing. God sent his son into this earth to find himself a bride. And that is those who come to Jesus. And when I pondered these things in my own study, I was reminded of Job. And, you know, if you take a minute sometimes just to think about some of the things you're reading that really stir your heart, don't move too quickly. Have you ever been there where somebody's saying, that's so funny, and then you have to say, wait a minute, let's just stay there for a minute. That is so funny, or that is so amazing. Stay there. Learn to savor it. I'm sometimes known in my house to say, let's all not go any further. Let's not talk for a minute. Mom's made a great meal here, and it's pretty great. Let's not miss it, right? I take it as, in America, sometimes we feed rather than eat. Okay, it's like a trough, and we just go, oh, it's so good. And yet, the fact is we need to remember to savor some of the wonderful things. And as I did on this verse, Job 42:6 came to my mind. It was where Job was coming to the end of his trial, and God himself showed up. And Job was standing there as a man girded in his humility. And he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye hath seen thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'm telling you guys, we have an amazing God. Somebody said, do you really believe he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? He does it here in a minute. He didn't need 6 days. He didn't need to take that time. He does it here all at once. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There's no long drawn out. There's no shortness. There's no timetable placed to this one. Because this is the one that he had in mind when he created the original. And the Bible tells us very clearly that he had done what he did with the people of Israel for a reason in regard to the creation of the heavens and the earth. If you recall, they were given the Ten Commandments. And of the Ten Commandments, the one commandment says this, remember my Sabbath to keep it holy, right? And some people say, well, the New Testament saints, they don't worship on Saturday, they worship on Sunday. Now, I'll explain the Sabbath meeting here in a moment. But the first thing you need to know is that the Bible tells us about this Sabbath day, and it kind of connects to your 7 days of creation. In Exodus 31:13, the Bible says, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. Listen to this. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, And it says that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now it's interesting because the word ye may know, the word ye is provided in italics by the translators. I think it would read better if we pulled it out for a second. Listen to this. He says that it is a sign between me and you, Israel, throughout your generations, that all may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Doesn't that make more sense? That little ye is added by the translators, and they're saying it by putting in italics. And I want you to know, they had a sign between them that showed everybody who would ask the question about Israel, why are you guys not open on Saturday? And that's what people think about Christians, or used to. They used to have blue laws and all that. Now it's like everything's open, everything's doing. But that's because the church has lost its influence. But it goes on to say in chapter 31 from verse 13, if you jump in your mind's eye down to verse 17, it says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Listen to this. This is God now. And he says this, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You see that? That's Exodus 31, verses 13 and 17. You need to realize that it was not a sign between us and God. It was a sign between Israel and God for the Sabbath day. And if you want your Sabbath back, because we in Christ satisfy all of the law, we, you know, we're perfect in Him. He satisfied it. He kept everything perfectly in the way God meant it to be, the Father meant it to be. He kept it all perfectly. And in Him we are complete, right? Complete in Him. That's what we have. Well, it's in Hebrews 4, verse 9, where it says, we have a rest that we have entered into, and it's a Sabbatism. We enter into a Sabbatism. We are immersed. It's a coined word by the writer of Hebrews that we are immersed. We have a rest. We have a Sabbatism. We've been baptized into a continual rest. He that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, even as God ceased from his. You and I are in the Sabbath of a completed salvation. Israel was a prop to get to us, and we are the bride. They were supposed to be bringing Gentiles along, but they built fences and walls rather than bridges. And so they kind of stumbled all the way through. That's part of why the tribulation is as bad as it is, because God has to really get their attention because the darkness has been so deep. So remember the Sabbath day, it says in chapter 20 of Exodus, to keep it holy. For in 6 days, chapter 20 and verse 8, and then in verse 11 it says, for in 6 days God made the heavens. Do you think God made the heavens in 6 days? Seventh day respite? I think He did. I think He wants us to know that. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to ask the scientist who won't tell you proper science anyway. Scientists aren't scientists anymore. They're conjurers. You have to really look to find a real scientist. Science comes from a word that means to know, like conscience, to know with. Science is at the end of conscience. You need to know, and it's not something you theorize. Critical race theory is a theory. If it were history, it would have been critical race history. It's not history. It's a remaking of history. It's a demolition of history. And we need to be mindful that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and God will make no apology for what He declares to be true. One thing He declares to be true is that the heavens and the earth were created in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, but He did not need 6 days. He needed the next one, the new one, which is far greater, far more beautiful, far more opulent, far more accommodating than the first. And He does it all in a second, upholding it all with the word of His power as He did the first. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 25, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, meaning the heavens and the earth, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Isn't that a good word? That's Psalm 102, 25. And what he's saying is it's going to wax old. This world's getting old, right? I don't know if you know, but when we were going through those chapters, we did see it, that there was going to be fires throughout the millennium of those cities that had burned. They were going to become holds of jackals, and all the unclean spirits are even going to be there. There's going to be smoke burning throughout the millennial kingdom to remind people of what this world was like before. So God's not going to wipe out the enemies of the kingdom of God and of the people of God and then clean it all up as if to get rid of what? The monuments. Okay, those are going to be monuments. Just like so many are trying to pull down our monuments and our remembrances. I know a lot of monuments I'd like to have pulled down. A lot of names of streets and buildings that I'd like to see changed. But I'm willing to tolerate them because they remind me to get angry sometimes and be a little bit more on guard that things like whatever those things represent don't happen again, right? Sometimes they're there to remind us that there's some things that we are ashamed of or some things that we need to be mindful that there is always a gift in the garbage about. So I say to you, when it says in Isaiah 51, verse 6, it says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation," God says, "shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished." Aren't you glad that's true? I mean, He does not change. I mean, let us rejoice in Him. I want to say these words out of 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, "But the heavens and the earth which are now, well, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And it says that the heavens are going to be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's what's going to happen. He's going to speak a word. Great white throne judgment. It's not even amplified how it happens. It just says the white throne showed up and that passed away. Just His presence. It fled from His presence. Why? Defilement everywhere. Life and all that history is gone. It's eradicated. It's done away with. Why? Because there will be no more problem to be dealt with anymore. Because all of those dispensations had had their moment. Man was proven to be flawed in his core with a sin nature after the fall. And as that unfolded all throughout history, God said, "I've given you every answer to every question you could possibly imagine." Listen, there are billions of people who are on this earth right now, and every one of them represents its own universe. And many of them are going to be saved, and they're going to give their story for eternity. What if you were born in a poor place? What if you were born with a certain culture? What if you were born in a certain place and time in the world? What if you were born in adversity, in opulence? What if you were born? What? Every question will be answered by someone somewhere. I remember hearing the story about a little girl who was kidnapped at about age 3, and she was taken into the woods, and she was beaten for a little while, and then they tied her to a tree and left her to die. And then these monkeys found her. And they began to bring her food. And eventually they played around with her straps, got her loose, and she didn't even know how to talk. And this is a true story. And as the time went on, she actually became able to do the things they did as far as jumping around. And she was kind of mimicking them because that's all she knew. And there's a book out there called The Girl with No Name. And it's all about her story. And I'm telling you, what ends up happening is she ends up getting found and she has to be retrained a lot of ways. But she didn't even have a name. But she has a story, doesn't she? Her story, if she's a believer now, and I think she is, her story is one that will be told. What would happen if this? What would happen if that? See, you and I are just our own story. And you're going to be telling yours forever. Everything you've had to confront, everything you've had to deal with, everything you've had to learn from, you're going to see it so clearly. You're going to see how everything really worked. Because your brain, your mind, your heart, everything will be completed and full, and you'll be able to see it and look at it, and it won't hurt anymore because God's going to do away with all that, and you're going to understand that it was all to the glory of God. All of it. And we look back and we say, "Oh, okay, I see what you were doing." And we are able to embrace His hand even more than we ever have before. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, all those things that we were talking about the tabernacle was a pattern. This new Jerusalem coming down from heaven is something other than a natural city on the earth. It's just something different. It's separate. Okay, you got new heaven, new earth, and yet you have this city. The Bible says of this city that it is adorned as for her husband.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.